This is something I rarely ever do, okay? But I'm going to give you the conclusion of this entire message right off the bat, right at the very beginning, okay? Like, you know how old school preachers, they'll always say, well, today we're going to look at 3 points. Point number one will be blah, blah, blah. Point number two will be yada, yada. Point number three will conclude with da, da, da. And now let's begin with point number one. And I don't know, if you're like me, I kind of think to myself, well, I don't really have to be listening to the sermon now, right? Because I have the whole thing right there. It's kind of like reading an Agatha Christie novel, you know, or watching a Sherlock Holmes movie and starting at the back, right? I know the butler did it, so what's the point? The fun part, the adventure, is coming along on the ride to see where this whole thing is going. And some of you may be even thinking, I don't even think he knows where this is going. But I will say a few, I'm going to say a few very profound things just to let you know, but I'm doing this because I believe it's just that important. So in case your internet dies or the oven timer goes off and, you know, you got to go fix whatever's there for lunch. If you can just remember these 4 words, you will have everything that I'm attempting to leave you with today. All right. The 4 words are this: stay at the source. Stay at the source. Now, I know you're all on mute, but I want you to repeat that wherever you are. I'll just watch your lips move. All right, here we go. Stay at the source. Right on. Okay. All right, John chapter 4. We have the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, one of my favorite stories, and it's worth reading the whole thing, but I'm just going to look at a couple verses and starting at the second half, I should say, of verse 7. Because it's this Samaritan woman. She came to draw water. Jesus was tired from his journey as he sat down by this well, right? And he said to this woman, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And you may know that in this part of the world, even today, in the 21st century, in this culture, you don't just go walking up chatting to single women in public. Didn't seem to bother Jesus, though. And he answered her, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you've got nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I just want you to flip over to John chapter 7, because Jesus said kind of the same thing there at the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths or Sukkot. It's at the end of September this year. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering because it's observed after all the crops have been harvested and gathered, kind of like our Thanksgiving. For the nation of Israel, it was time to look back over those 40 years when God led them through the wilderness. They dwelt in those temporary shelters, always on the move. And in John 7, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Hey, that's talking about us, isn't it? Rivers of living water will flow from within us. Which leads me back to a review of our 4 words. I hope you remember them. Stay at the source. Right on. Stay at the source. From where or from whom are we going to get our life from? And will those around you find life and hope and refreshment from knowing you? Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Just last weekend, Victoria Day, my wife Mary and our daughter Sarah, they all went kayaking along with a couple of friends, right? Socially distanced, everybody in their own boat. They sailed down the Grand River from Glen Morris to Paris. Had a great time. Now, I'm not a big water guy, so I helped drive the truck with all the kayaks in it. And then I picked up a cup of tea at the Tim Hortons. I had a great afternoon as well. Now, while I'm not so big on paddling in a canoe or going into the water, I really love being around water. We rent this little cottage every year at Sable Beach. Oh, yes, tomorrow night at the leadership meeting, I'll be talking about my first holiday. But anyway, we rent a little cottage up at Sable Beach. And, you know, there's just something good about being around water. Now, that, of course, is Lake Huron, right? Where all the beautiful sunsets are, as you know. But this morning, I want to focus in on rivers. Rivers of living water. A couple of summers ago, it was the Waterloo Region Record, the newspaper. They ran a whole series entitled The Ever-Changing River. And it was a reporter there, Greg Mercer shared some very interesting facts about the five rivers that we are blessed to having flow near us here in this part of Ontario. He did a whole series of articles on the Nith, the Conestoga, the Aramasa, the Speed, and the Mighty Grand. And it's a real blessing, you know, that we have these life-giving rivers, in some cases almost right in our backyard. And the waters of the Grand River, they're always flowing. The power of the Grand River is absolutely overwhelming. Now, in reading the articles, I found out that the source of the Grand River is actually almost literally in the middle of nowhere. Do you know where the Grand River begins? It springs up from the ground in a pasture outside of Wareham, Ontario. Now, where is Wareham? Well, Wareham is a community in Grey County. It's near Flesherton, north of Dundalk, about 80 kilometers northwest of Brampton, 60 kilometers west of Barrie, south of the Blue Mountains. I should have brought a map with me. But all the way from up there, the Grand River flows, and it splits the Waterloo region in two. It crosses underneath Canada's busiest highway and grows into an absolutely mighty river by the time it rolls into Lake Erie. There are plenty of favorite fishing spots, right? Very popular with kayakers and paddle boarders and canoers and swimmers, all kinds of wildlife too. Coyotes, raccoons, deer, snakes, and snapping turtles all make their homes along the banks of the Grand. 'Tis a grand river, indeed it is. The waterway that the Nith, Conestoga, Aramasa, and Speed Rivers, and so many other creeks all drain into. Now, why am I giving you a travelogue and a little lesson on ecology here? Hey, where's the Bible in all of this? Right, maybe you're thinking, wait, where's the expositional, hermeneutical, Christological exegesis of these texts that he just shared? I'm ready to write down some big notes here. He's given me four words. Okay, I'll save all that other deep stuff for next Sunday, but don't be fooled by how simplistic today's sermon may sound on the surface. See, I'm thinking about water, aren't I? Okay, it goes back to the four words again. Still remember them? Stay at the source. If I had remembered those four words myself a number of years ago, I could have saved myself all kinds of difficulties. Because it was several years ago, I first heard this concept, and I want to share it with you in this brief time this morning. Now, if you get hold of this simple-sounding truth, and I know it sounds simple, four words, it will absolutely change your Christian life. It will change your witness. It will help you understand a little more fully and be personally blessed, by the way, in knowing how God really is at work in your life every single day. Now, for well over 30 years now, I've enjoyed, it's a daily devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. I was gonna bring it up here for a little show and tell, but I left it downstairs. But anyway, and I may have already mentioned it in these last few weeks. I'm not sure. I highly recommend it. And you can even get the updated version in more modern English. It's called My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. And of course, these days, you can just Google it and you can get the devotionals every day right there online. Now, I do like the original version. It's going back over 100 years. Sometimes I have to have a dictionary to understand some of the words. But they were spoken to Bible students as well as to soldiers who listened to Mr. Chambers' lectures that he gave when he was stationed as a chaplain in Egypt during the First World War. And here, listen to a couple of the insights that he gives on what Jesus meant when he spoke about these rivers of living water that should flow from within his followers. Chambers writes this. He says, a river reaches places where its source doesn't know about. Reaches places which its source doesn't even know about. Jesus said, if we've received his fullness, rivers of living water will flow out from us, reaching in blessing, even to the ends of the earth. Regardless of how small the visible effects of our lives may appear to be, a river is victoriously persistent, overcoming all barriers. For a while, it goes steadily on its course, and then comes to an obstacle. And for a time, it's blocked. Yet, it soon makes a pathway around that obstacle. Or a river will drop out of sight for miles, only later to emerge again, even broader, even greater than ever. He asked this question, actually. He says, do you see God using the lives of others, but maybe an obstacle has come into your life? You do not seem to be of any use to God right now? Then keep paying attention to the source. And God is going to take you either around that obstacle or he's going to remove it. The river of the Spirit of God removes all obstacles. Never focus your eyes on the obstacle or the difficulty. The obstacle will be a matter of total indifference to the river that will flow steadily through you if you will simply remember to stay focused on the source. If you believe in Jesus, says Oswald Chambers, you will find that God has developed and nourished in you mighty, rushing rivers of blessing for others. And he adds this, we have nothing to do with the outflow. God rarely allows a person to see how great a blessing he or she is to others. I have a good friend. His name is Len Habermill. And Len and Joan, known them for years. They're getting up there now in age. But Len is a retired hydro inspector. And he used to go around the different jobs, you know, inspecting for Ontario Hydro. And one time, he was witnessing to a friend of his who was one of the truck drivers there. He'd see him every now and again. Well, I'll just call him Joe because I can't remember his name. But anyway, he was witnessing to Joe one day, you know, witnessing, telling him about Jesus. And as he was chatting with Joe, finally, my friend Len said, Joe, you know what? I've got a copy of the Bible with me in my car. Do you mind if I give it to you? Joe said, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll take that. So Len gave him a copy of the Bible. Well, Len didn't see Joe ever again. In fact, a couple of years later, he was in the same area, another work site, and a total stranger came up to him and said, hey, are you Len Habermill? And he says, yeah. He said, well, you don't know me, but do you remember Joe Smith, the truck driver? He said, yeah, I remember Joe. And he said, well, you gave him a Bible one time. Len said, oh, yeah, I did. I gave him a Bible. He said, well, Joe kind of left that Bible sitting on the dashboard of his truck. And, well, I heard you two talking, and I heard what you were saying to him about Jesus. And so I said, Joe, do you mind if I read that Bible? And the bookmark was there in the New Testament somewhere. And Joe said, yeah, sure, here you go. He said, well, listen, I just wanted to tell you, I read that Bible. I became a Christian and I got baptized last year. I want to thank you for giving that Bible to my friend Joe. Now, Len never found out if old Joe ever came to Christ. But this fellow, he got swept up into the river, didn't he? My friend Len wasn't even witnessing to him. He was eavesdropping, right? But Len just wanted to live his life for Jesus, leave the outcome to the Lord. Len kept his focus on the source. It was God who took care of where the river flowed. And this just happened to be one occasion when Len got to find out where one of those rivers went. Somebody sent me a text recently, basically saying they felt sometimes God wasn't using them at all. They wondered if my life was counting at all, they said, if they were being a blessing to anybody. Well, they were living by themselves. It's COVID time now. Is anybody being blessed by my life at all? Well, I assured them God was very much using them to bless my life. But I added that the Lord rarely ever lets any of us know what kind or how much of a blessing we are. I think it helps to keep us humble. Way back when the pandemic began, it was also the beginning of what has now become a huge rift between sincere followers of Jesus. You've felt it. You've noticed it yourself, haven't you? Now, you know, because we're all sinners, all down through the centuries, there have been, and there's just always going to be, what we call those schisms, right, that occur between believers. Well, we got to start our own denomination because, you know, we don't see whatever this doctrine the same way these people do. So there's schisms in the church. I want to propose to you that these last 15 months here in Canada, they have opened up not a schism, they've opened up a chasm. I mean, a huge rift between people. So many of us are at odds with one another. I was just chatting with a guy the other day on Facebook. He was trying to tell me the earth is flat. And I thought, you know, the testimony of Jesus Christ has been so badly damaged here in Canada, and many of us haven't even noticed it. Well, after being just as guilty of getting into my share of online arguments, I decided maybe I should focus a little more on something positive, something to bring some unity, maybe even a bit of saneness, sane, not same, but saneness to our Christian witness during this time of COVID. So every Sunday now, I post a little hymn, or maybe it's a worship song on my guitar. I wish I could sing and play as well as Kevin does, but I do my best. And then I share a few scriptures as well. Well, I get some likes, I get some comments, but you know, it's kind of neat to check out the little link now that's on my YouTube channel because everybody can sound so famous these days, right? But anyway, it's there that I get to see that a lot more people have actually clicked on these videos than have let me know. Now, maybe they've just clicked on it once or twice and thought, oh gosh, there he goes preaching from the Bible. Oh heavens, he's doing a hymn. Okay, goodbye, move along. But others have watched them and they don't want anybody to know, right, that they're watching anything religious, right? Can't let my friends know that I'm, you know, thinking about Jesus here. But the fact is, I've had a few non-Christian friends send me private messages over these last 15 months. They actually appreciate these little 10 or 15 minute song offerings, right? And they're completely perplexed. They're completely perplexed by the anger that they have encountered from their observance of Christians online. They're so like, what in the world is with you people? We seem so caught up, you know, in the political issues, the arguments for and against getting a vaccine. It's really dividing us right now. But a couple of them have admitted to me that they've been thinking about whether there really is a God out there. One fellow I know who grew up in the Baptist church, he knew more about the Bible than I did when I first came to Christ, has had nothing to do with it now for over 40 years. But he said, well, you know, I keep thinking there's something, got to be something beyond out there in the universe somewhere. So keep singing your songs. I'm watching them just to let you know. Who knows? Who knows if he'll come back to the Lord? But my little thoughts on Facebook, hey, they say they're helpful. They tell me to keep it up. They never say that because of the quality of my singing or guitar playing. I should add that really quickly, right? But thirsty people, they're out there. They are out there. Maybe I've given some of them a blessing. I don't know. Maybe they're thinking for a moment that maybe not all evangelical Christians have lost their minds. We haven't all sold our souls to the God of power and money and popularity. Maybe faith in Jesus is worth paying some attention to. And for you as well, whether it's online, even how you treat the person in the drive-through window when you go pick up your Swiss Chalet chicken or whatever, right? How you treat that person, the rivers of living water are flowing out of the people of God. Well, may we all stay focused on the source, because in a time such as this, God wants his people to be a light and a blessing, to refresh people as we live, first of all, for the kingdom of God and his purposes in the day-to-day run-of-the-mill goings-on that make up this thing we call life. Now, Oswald Chambers, he writes it time and time again here. He said, we get so caught up on where the river's going, right? We wonder, am I being successful in people's lives? Or do people not see how spiritual I am? Oh, I better tell them. And we get so concerned about where the water is going. Oh, no, there's an obstacle. And we go reaching out to try and change the flow of the river. How to be in control of all of that. And we do it so much that we lose our focus on the source. We get so focused on the obstacle, grabbing, trying to adjust where the river is going. And as we do, well, we won't even realize that the rivers of living water that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be taking care of, we won't even know. Because if we're not careful, we're going to discover, often too late, that we've allowed it all to dry up. Or the river has become a pool, right? And a pretty stagnant one at that. Maybe we won't have even realized it, but we're no longer refreshing people anymore. It's something to ask ourselves, because that's what you would call wasting your life, by the way. If Wareham, Ontario could speak, right? Little Wareham up there in that little cow pasture south of the Blue Mountains. If it could talk, it would say to all of us, hey, I'm so glad I found out where this river grows. I'm glad Pat did that today. No, he said, Wareham, Ontario, if it could talk, would say this. I have no idea. I have no idea where the Grand River goes. I just know that it starts right here. I'm a nobody, but I'm being a blessing to somebody. Right? I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who loves everybody, who died for everybody. Stay at the source. Uh-oh. Oh, hold on. Oh, you know how I've been trying to get you to remember those four words? I should have said five. All right, here we go. Five words. Now he tells me. Keep yourself at the source. Keep yourself at the source, because this is not going to happen on its own. You got to keep yourself at the source of the springs of living water. Keep drinking there. Keep feeding your own relationship with God. And there's no shortcuts. It comes through prayer, comes through time in the scriptures. Now, summer's on the way, but don't take a vacation from this. Talk to, listen to the still small voice. It's getting drowned out in an ever noisier world, even a busy, noisy church world, right? It's too easy to be busy with all kinds of religious activity and think we're living for God. Except we are not engaged in all that activity right now. Are we? No, for the last 15 months. You know, I wonder, could surviving a pandemic actually be more of a blessing than we realize? And maybe someday we'll get to realize what a blessing it actually was. All right, one more paragraph from Oswald Chambers, and then I'm done. Oh, by the way, this sort of borrowing from other sources, you may be tempted to call this plagiarism, but in the preaching world, we like to call this research. Okay, last quotes. Chambers said, "The true character of the loveliness that speaks for God is always unnoticed by the one possessing that quality. If I wonder if I'm being of any use to God, I instantly lose the beauty and the freshness of the touch of the Lord." Right? And then he quotes the verse we looked at. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, out of them will flow rivers of living water." Now, if I examine the outflow, says Chambers, I lose touch. I lose the touch. Not only lose touch with, but I lose the touch of the Lord. Who are the people who have influenced us most? Certainly not the ones who thought they did, but those who did not even have the slightest idea that they were influencing us. In the Christian life, godly influence is never conscious of itself. If we are conscious of our influence, it ceases to have the genuine loveliness, which is characteristic of the touch of Jesus. We always know when Jesus is at work because he produces in the commonplace something that is inspiring. Says Oswald Chambers, "The Lord can do nothing with the people who think they are of use to God." As Christians, we're not out for our own cause at all. We're out for the cause of God. We do not know what God is after, but we have to maintain our relationship with him, whatever happens. We must never allow anything to injure our relationship with God. If it does get injured, we must take the time and get it put right. The main thing about Christianity, he says, it's not the work we do, but the relationship we maintain and the atmosphere produced by that relationship. Now, that's all God asks us to look after. And it is the one thing that is being continually assailed. Now, that's an old word from 100 years ago, but just the sound of it lets you know what it means, right? Assailed is like an assault. Satan certainly continuing to violently try to attack the people of God. And you've heard it said before, but he'll do his best to keep you out of this book. He'll do his best to make sure you're too busy to pray. He'll do his best to make sure you got something else to do on Sunday rather than be here. So, you and I, let's keep ourselves. Let's stay focused at the source. Now do that, and Jesus even guarantees it, you will bless and refresh the world around you in ways you won't even know. May God be with you. Hey, why don't we pray? Shall we pray? Let's do that. All right. Father, I just thank you for the river of living water. Lord, it quenches our thirst, first of all. You told that woman at the well, and it took her a while to figure it out, but when she did, she just ran as fast as she could to tell everybody, "Hey, come here, a man who told me everything. Maybe this is the Messiah." Father, let us find refreshment in the river of living water that you provide for us. And then, Lord, let us live for you. Let us be focused on you. Let us make the kingdom of God the first priority. And then, Lord, we'll leave it up to you. But you will bless people. And Father, I can just see it from the people that are all here, the faces that I see and the ones that I can't see because of they don't have their cameras on. But Lord, I can see you're going to bless the world through these people. And so I just want to pray for them and ask you to continue to do that in all of us. And someday we will gather around the throne of grace, and every single praise and blessing is all going to go back to you anyway. In Jesus' name, I just offer these prayers. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.